Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast presented by the Union Tribune. I'm Kevin Acey, the Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor for the Union Tribune. He's in San Diego. It's where the Padres are from. And I'm in Washington. I'm at Nationals Park, sitting out actually in the stands right now. About, what, I don't know, 6 hours before game time, Padres begin a three-game series against the Washington Nationals. They're struggling a little bit. They haven't played a lot lately. With rain here in the D.C. area, beautiful, almost cloudless day today. The Padres, I thought for sure, Jay, that I'd be coming up with things to write this past 4 days in Pittsburgh. Rain in the forecast, it barely rained, and they played all four games, and they won three of them.
Kevin, I would ask you how the weather forecast is for Washington this week, but as we found out last week, it makes absolutely no difference because these people have no idea what they're talking about. They were talking on TV yesterday that it did rain, I guess, a couple times in Pittsburgh earlier in the days while you were there, but there wasn't even a single delay.
Not a single delay.
The games were going on. And as you said, the weekend turned out quite well for the Padres. Three straight wins. I believe it's 6 out of 8 and 10 and 8 in May. And but please, and I think I saw this somewhere. I actually saw someone use the C word, and I hope this wasn't you, where they were talking about, well, the Padres are in contention.
We're not going to go there.
The Padres are not in contention. They are not going to be in contention. But I do think, obviously, Padre fans should take heart in when the team plays well. And I wouldn't say yesterday's game they played all that well for all of it, but they played well enough, and they got some help from the Pirates shortstop in the ninth inning, and they got a lot of clutch hits, which we haven't always seen. Throughout the season, and they got three wins.
They got a couple games like that where you would say there were times where that didn't play very well, and yet they did things that they hadn't done before, and I would say chief among those, putting the ball in play. And I was laughing before because I knew where you were going, just by the tone of your voice, Jay, about the whole contention thing. What I did mention is that they have gained five games in the standings in the past 10 days. Now, yes, they are over 500 in that time, but the rest of the NL West, save for the Rockies, has come back to them.
I'm looking at the standings in the paper today, and you know how we list the last 10 games, and the Padres actually have the best record in the division over the last 10 games at 6-4. The Giants are 5-5, and the Rockies and Dodgers both 4-6, and of course Arizona's in a tailspin right now at 1-9. So this division, which, you know, was so good last year and we thought was going to be probably about as good this year, right now is just like one step ahead of the AL Central, which has a sub 500 team in first place.
Hey, that's how the Chargers made the playoffs all those years. So, hey, is it going to stay like this for any of these five teams? Probably not. The Dodgers actually just came out of here with a sweep, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. And now the Padres get the Nationals. They will not see Max Scherzer. They will not see Steven Strasburg. They will see Gio Gonzalez, though, who is quite good. And they will see Jeremy Hellickson.
Who took a perfect game.
Who looked like a combination of Scherzer and Strasburg and everybody else we've ever seen against the Padres tomorrow's game. So
what'll be good is to measure.
Of course.
Because honestly, Jeremy Hellickson did look like that was almost like the low point for what, six some innings, where you're like, this guy they're swinging and missing against.
Right.
So this will be a good measuring stick.
And they did not strike out all that much yesterday, correct?
Seven times. I actually was prompted. I think you've gotten already how into stats I am, part of why I love baseball. I actually was prompted to see if, you know, over a certain amount of games, this was their fewest strikeouts. And it wasn't. Early in the season, they weren't striking out a lot. And then, of course, they became the best at striking out. And they're better. They're much better lately. Jay, Robbie Erlin starts tonight. This could be a bullpenning game is what it could be because Brian Mitchell hasn't pitched in almost a week. Robbie Erlin went three innings last time, gave up six runs against the Dodgers back in the middle of April. For Robbie Erlin has been spectacular out of the bullpen. So where am I going with this? You know what? Brian Mitchell, Robbie Erlin, these guys could learn from Jordan Lyles, who just took this bullpen mentality and is throwing, you know, 5 to 7 innings pretty darn good in his 3 starts.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought yesterday until the 9th inning we would talk today about Jordan Lyles, and you know, Andy Green has a lot of faith in him, and you sure could does. Argue that in a couple games, maybe a little too much faith. But look, it worked out, and Lyles has pitched very well. He's been impressive in these starts, and again, you don't want to read too much into 3 games.
No.
But when a guy pitches well for a period of time and shows that he does have that ability, then it's something to keep an eye on, and we'll see how, you know, maybe he's a surprise guy. I mean, they do looking at their system, they do need right-handed starters, probably are not as highly regarded in their system outside of a Cal Quantrill. As much as
struggling,
right? As much as some of the lefties that they have drafted through the years. So, if you find a guy like Jordan Lyles and he can give you innings over a couple years, and obviously Clayton Richard has found something, as you wrote the other day about with his arm slot and everything. So they're getting good pitching. Tyson Ross continues to pitch well. So yeah, it's something where there's reason for people to, you know, to turn on the game and not like close their eyes and go, oh no, what am I going to see today? Because there are some promising aspects to what we've seen, especially, like I said, especially on the mound.
Yeah. And that's, we're going to see whether,
and we'll see whether it holds up, to get to your point. We'll see what happens with a game with Erlen and Mitchell. Now, will Andy Green do the Kevin Cash thing here and get to a point where, you know, we see Kirby Yates starting like 4 games in a row? I can't wait to see what the Rays do next. But it seems like Andy wants to do a little bit more than that, and I think he would love to see Robbie Erlen give him 4 or 5 innings tonight.
I was talking, or I asked him about that, just in you know, response to the Rays thing, and I had done the research, and yes, the bullpen, and we know where the game has gone there, and after the 6th inning, if you don't get some runs, you're going to be facing these guys throwing 98, and you know, bullpen's more important than ever. You know that virtually every winning team has like 15 to 30 quality starts. It's still about how deep your starters go in a game. Your bullpen cannot do that unless, I guess, if the Rays start, Kevin Cash, their manager, is starting about talking about now changing their system possibly so that guys would actually be trained to do that. I guess that's a possibility. But
I hope Kevin Cash is their manager. I'm throwing this out there like I know, but I think that that's right.
Yeah, I believe it's Kevin Cash, because I think I remember Kevin and then Cash. That's a cool name. So I think that's who, you know, not that they played the Rays in a while. What I'm saying is it would take quite a few years to do what he is, you know, in the infant stages of doing. And I know the quality start is a bogus stat. Certainly one that Pedro Martinez and Randy Johnson would scoff at. That was a bad outing for them. But in this day and age, I don't know. It still is about doing what Clayton Richard and Tyson Ross have been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think most managers in today's game would be too upset with getting a quality start of, you know, 6 innings, 3 and 3 runs. I mean, I think,
right,
you know, most guys would take that right now, and I think for sure Andy Green would, with just about all of his guys, and he's been able to squeeze an extra inning or two out of a couple. You know, Ross and Richard have shown they can maybe save the bullpen a little bit. But it still seems like, you know, we're seeing a lot. I haven't looked at the appearance numbers lately, but we do see a lot of Stammen and Yates in hand. That's what we're used to seeing from those guys. I mean, they're going to pitch 70 or 80 times during the season.
I did actually do a note on that over the weekend. Maybe it was the beginning of the weekend. And Adam Simber has been the guy that has saved those guys, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what's the rate that these guys are on? And they're actually on pace to do what they have done for some of them the last several years. Hand, Yates, Stammen's on pace to do what he did last year. Now, they can't do what they did this last series, which is, you know, hand pitch twice, Yates 3 times. Stammen 3 times. Yates got up and down for the first time, as it, you know, he pitched an inning and a third. Can't keep doing that. So again, little tangent there on would like to see something out of the continue for the starters. And tonight, though, look, what he's going to tell Robbie Erlen is, if you give me 3 or 4 strong innings, we're set, man. That's what he's going to tell Robbie Erlen.
All right. Now, what else did you see this weekend that you liked out of the games in Pittsburgh?
obviously yesterday Travis Jankowski was 0-for-5, and I'm writing about him. You'll have that story in a few hours, Shay. But you know what? Other than yesterday, what he's done every time is he's followed a bad at bat with a good at bat, you know, or an unproductive at bat, because not every unproductive at bat is a bad at bat. But he is just like a new player now, and my story will be about why that is. And it's basically knowing who he is. He's not Franchi Cordero, okay? He's not launching balls, 500 feet, which Franchi Cordero isn't doing anymore either. But Travis found who he is. He stopped trying to be who he wasn't, and so we'll see if that continues. And I just find that every at bat that he gets up, it's like, okay, will this be a spark? And save for yesterday, he was doing that 2 or 3 times a game. So I've been fascinated, and it's been very enjoyable to watch that little old school leadoff hitter.
Right. We saw Christian Villanueva.
Yes.
Get a couple home runs off right-handed pitchers. It's probably too soon to say we're going to believe in this, but again, it's something that happened, and you have to give him credit for that and see if it's something that can be sustainable over a full season.
And I couldn't tell you what Christian Villanueva was doing wrong, or if he just is always not going to hit right-handers well. But I will say that the kid, I've always suspected it, that he's got a really good head on his shoulders, and I think he's shown that in May. You know, it got a little much for him. All the attention, everything, including going to Mexico, and you could see it, and then you saw it in the last couple weeks, and yesterday was the first time that I'd actually had any sort of extended interview with him, and he confirmed it again. So look, we'll have to wait and see. But that was good. Andy Green put him in 2 days against righties. They'd gone 5 or 6 days without facing a lefty. So Christian Villanueva needed to play. Other than that, Jay, it's kind of status quo. I mean, we don't need to get deep into AJ Ellis, the 37-year-old having the best stretch of his career. We don't need to get in Eric Hosmer doing what he does. It's really the things that we've touched on, Jay. That's it, man. We've said it all on the Hot Lava podcast.
Already, it's only May 20 something, and we're already out of things. But
no, we're not out.
We've said it. I do think there's, in terms of what we like and what we didn't like, I think Manny Margot is still struggling. Mm. How much of it is now a result of his injury? Don't know. But batting average isn't everything, but hitting 194 is not going to be good most of the time. It's going to be tough to make up for that sort of batting average.
Well, the last two days, at least once a game, a play that I absolutely expected Manuel Margot to make, he didn't make. And Andy Green confirmed that, either yesterday, though, he thought that the wind fooled, and look, the wind was really, really tough there. He thought the wind fooled Manny Margot, but it's major leagues. You make that play going back to the wall. Another one he just simply misplayed. I very interesting, because his defense sort of, his defense is why they'll accept him hitting 250.
Right. And I wondered about that watching the game, because it did seem, I'll admit, I'm a guy that thinks it is the major leagues. Most of these plays should be made. There aren't enough errors given. We can get into that anytime we want. There were at least a couple yesterday the Padres didn't get charged with, just because of baseball's ridiculous scoring rules. But I think Margot has missed a couple balls where you think, a good major league center fielder and a guy that's supposed to be a really good center fielder like him, you would think those were the kind of balls he should catch. I don't know. There's probably a way to look this up on StatCast. He seems to me to be better when he's running toward right field to make plays than he is when he's running either trying to go over his head or toward left center field. But again, that just sticks in my head. Like, he seems to make more plays heading to his left than any other direction. So might be something to keep an eye on, and maybe I'm just imagining that, but that, having watched him now for the last couple of years, it does seem like he's more comfortable or just makes more plays when he's headed to his left.
Well, as I do with a lot of things that you point out, I will look into that, and I will also keep an eye on it. That obviously is it. Hey, fielders acknowledge that. It's something I've talked to a lot of outfielders, because of the outfielders that they have, and they you know, they're better going certain directions. And certainly, I guess Manny is probably not the best going back. He's fast, all that. And I want to say this about Manuel Margot. And again, just like with Christian Villanueva, where I was positive about it, yet I want to make sure that I'm clear. I'm not saying that he's going to be a star or even a, you know, an everyday major leaguer. What I'm saying is there are signs that Christian Villanueva understands and has is figuring out on the fly how to deal with the pressure and with slumps and all that. And that's what it looks like to me. But we'll see. Well, I would say the exact opposite about Manuel Margot, who had big hopes for this year. Right. I would say he really appears to be struggling with all of that. And it seems to be weighing on him. So, but I would say, hey, he's young. These guys learn. Some guys learn quicker than others. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, that's all you can do is just see how it develops. And Villanueva didn't show any signs that he was getting it until all of a sudden he did. And
there you go.
Maybe it's the same with Margot, and maybe it takes him a little longer, and maybe he never gets it. I mean, the Padres have to hope that's not the case. We talked before about they have a lot riding on him based on what they gave up to get him. But maybe there comes a time, and we're talking 2 weeks from now, where, you know, Margot's in a stretch where he's hitting 400 and making every play that needs to be made in the outfield.
There can't be maybe hockey. I don't think the NBA, even though there's a lot of games, where if people did a podcast like we do, Jay, where they said, we'll just have to wait and see as much as we do. But that's like the nature of baseball. How many times did we hear at the beginning of the season that Clayton Richard was just the worst, should be DFA'd, was done, right? I mean, that's just baseball, this game of constant adjustments and learning.
Right. And that's, we have said that before, that everything is about, you know, these days trying to do instant judgments. And not just in baseball. I mean, Jared Goff was the worst quarterback ever to come out of college, since Ryan Leaf his rookie year. And then look what happened last year when he had a little better players around him and a lot better coaching. So you
right,
just
the
never
danger
know
on
what's going to happen. Now, baseball is a little different because it's an every single day guys are out there. And if they're failing every single day, which some of these guys do, it's got to just wear on you mentally. And that's where you have to be able to deal with the mental aspect of it as much as anything else. And if you do let it wear you down, then you end up where maybe you never recover from it. And I'm sure that's happened with guys.
I mean, the difference I've learned over the years between a guy who's really super talented and had 500 plate appearances in the majors and a guy who is maybe even not as talented or the same talent and had, you know, 15 years is in the head a lot of times, man. So we'll see. The Padres think they've got those kind of guys that that can, you know, make deal with it. But we'll see.
Okay. Well, we accomplished a lot today, Kevin. We just decided, well, we'll just wait and see on everything, right?
I think somewhere in between all the we'll sees, we talked about some pretty good stuff.
That's true. And I am. We are looking forward to the Jankowski piece because he has been a completely different player this year, and eager to read about that. And we will talk to you again on Friday when you're back on this side of the country.
Before the Dodgers series. All right. See you later. Thanks, Jay.
This has been a production of the UT Podcast Network.